We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
12:04 in the lunchtime hour of this Friday.
Focus, Gresh.
Oh, I'm good. Listen, you told me you like butterscotch candy in the off-air show. I mean, good.
What's
great.
Wrong with those? I like the strawberry ones too. And yes, as the texter suggested, I like Werther's original.
Even Paul Perillo wouldn't eat a butterscotch candy.
He would bathe in butterscotch candies.
Ooh, bathing in butterscotch would not be good.
Probably not.
That'd be a real sticky situation.
Tough to get off.
Hey, I will say quickly on the, because I have not texted Keith all week. Let him deal in baby world. I did text him about Blake Griffin with a yippee emoji, and I got back, the corpse of Blake Griffin is still Blake Griffin. I knew he wouldn't be.
Wait, is that a positive or a negative?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out on Monday.
I think that has a positive spin.
I take it as a negative because he is not. I don't think he's a big fan of really that whole Brooklyn team. But we'll find out on Monday because breaking news last hour, Blake Griffin is now a member of the Boston Celtics. We will get to Bill Belichick, who had some things to say about not only Green Bay, but also Mac Jones. But quickly, since we're on this coming out of heartburn, Ted in the car has a heart's issue with streaming services. Go ahead, Ted.
Hey, Andy, do you pay for cable?
Yes, I do.
Like, yes.
And so they do a great job collecting
streaming services.
No. They do a great job collecting content for me and putting it into an easy, accessible system
with commercials.
Yeah, just
they don't put the commercials in. The stations do.
That's like the dumbest rant I've ever heard.
See, this is the dumbest argument I've ever heard. Amazon can decide how they put their product on the air. Amazon is the product, and they've decided after charging me for their product, they're going to add commercials. Cable is just the cable, the conduit that brings the entertainment into my home. NBC, ESPN, CNN have commercials. That's not cable.
Well, your cable company does fill the local spots. That's why you see your local commercials there and all that.
For those stations, it's part of their business model. But cable just gives me the access.
Well, this is a different version of the Amazon business model then.
Like the Amazon business model sucks.
It's like streaming for... Okay, well, that's a different story then. It's like getting Peacock and then... Yeah, I'm a WWE guy. I have to go to Peacock to go to WWE Network.
Right.
And there are still Peacock NBC commercials that are mixed in there. It's like, okay, fine. I'll go get my drink and in 30 seconds, I'm good.
Okay. But you don't pay for Peacock. It comes free with your
cable. You pay for the...
Oh, I get it free with my cable. The,
no, I do too, but you can pay for the upgraded level to where, I don't know what it is. My wife does
so
it.
So they upcharge you to get rid of the commercials.
No, that's the thing. They're not all rid
so
of
So you
the,
upcharged and still have commercials?
I think it's for... I don't know. I think it might be for... I'm trying to figure out now.
You're getting hosed.
No. Oh, please. Are you kidding me? We subscribe to everything. Pandora, freaking Amazon, Peacock, Paramount Plus, even though we have cable and all that stuff, what you learn in this business, you can kind of write that off. So
yeah,
if you're smart, you're okay.
Which is what I'll do in the end.
Yeah. So look at that. Even you admitted it's a write-off and you're still complaining about it.
Well, it's free right now, which is why I think their numbers are actually fluffed up because they made it so easy. When I did it 2 weeks ago, I said, press the button on my cable remote. They provide a great service, Ted. I like their service. Thank you very much. I said, Amazon Prime. It opened the app. It said, NFL football tonight. Would you like to watch? Yes. Would you like to start your free 30-day trial now? Yes. I didn't put in a credit card. I didn't put in anything. It opened the app and showed me football.
You know what? I forgot about this because millennial Chris Scheim, in week one of Thursday Night Football, put out the snarky tweet of, for all you boomers out there who don't know how to get the game, open Twitch and it's right there. So if you want to get rid of your Amazon Prime subscription, you can watch Thursday Night Football on Twitch for free.
What channel is Twitch on my cable system?
I don't know, but
it isn't.
You? So you wouldn't download Twitch to your smart TV to watch it for free, but you'll bitch about downloading Amazon Prime and paying for it and getting a commercial when it's just as easy to click the same button. All you got to do is download the app to your smart TV.
But don't both eliminate my ability to click around? Because they're an external
app.
Well,
listen, you just got to get a second TV then. That's really what it comes down to.
So now Amazon charges me for their app, gives me commercials, and they're forcing me to spend an extra $1,500 on a new TV to put next to it so I can still watch cable.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what the TV costs. $200
to get a decent one that can go beside your big TV. Oh, yeah.
Did it fall off the back of a truck on Black Friday only?
Listen. I'll send you to a place in Rhode Island where
you got a guy.
I don't even have a guy. I got multiple people.
You know, accepting stolen goods is a crime.
No, it's not off the back of a truck. I'm still paying for it. I'm just not paying as much.
Jeez.
Anyway, let's get to Bill Belichick, who has paid a lot. He and his football team will be headed to Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. And, will Mac Jones be a part of it? So, apparently, in the 13-minute Bill Belichick press conference today, 9 minutes of it apparently was spent on the history of the Green Bay Packers and their organization and Lambeau Field and all that kind of stuff. Then there was the stuff from Bill Belichick on Mac Jones, and I think we're going to have to do some starting and stopping here. Here was Bill B. Hoodsworth earlier today.
Now you're headed out to practice here in a little bit. Are you expecting Mac to practice today?
Well, we'll see. I'm sure that we'll both be watching very closely and see if he's out there. Oh, you can't make it? Yeah. Banker's hours. Off at noon. Oh, I got you. Yeah. Hey. He's the man. I understand.
Can we pause right there, John? You've been a lot of those Friday press conferences.
Yes.
And the dirty secret for many years for those in the business is that's the press conference where you can actually kind of take something away from what Bill Belichick says.
Yeah, his guard is down on Fridays generally.
But the fact that he was joking around like that, did that stand out to you in any different kind of way, given that we are dealing with a serious situation in terms of Mac Jones? It's, you know, maybe his future franchise quarterback.
I stopped doing that a few years ago. There was a while I used to read into these, oh, he's giddy. He knows something. He's ready to go blow doors off the Packers.
Right.
Oh, he's excited. Now, I've stopped doing that because it's funny. When Brady left, some of those things also left with him.
Oh,
the ability to read those.
I got it.
I wouldn't read into he's happy. That means Mac's going to play. And if Mac plays, he thinks they got a good chance to upset the Packers in Green Bay. That's a bridge too far.
Okay. I got you. All right, John.
Sure, it'll be mentioned what happens out there. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Just right. You mentioned the other day that he had improved quite a bit since the day before.
Yeah, of course.
How much has he improved since last time you talked to him?
We'll see.
What do you need to see from Mac to determine his physical readiness to play on Sunday?
Yeah, well, ultimately, that'll be a decision made by the medical people in consultation with Mac, of course.
Stop.
In light of last night's incident, I'm making sure that you know that the medical staff is taking control of this situation.
You beat me to it. I was like, boy, after last night, Bill sidestepped that one pretty quick.
I am no Mike McDaniel, and you will not be accusing me of anything on Sunday.
But, you know, there was it was the way that question was phrased was actually pretty good. The whole, you know, what do you need to see from him physically, da da da. And then it's the whole, well, we're getting the medical people in there. The follow up could have been, well, Bill, from a football standpoint, what do you need to see today in practice?
But
he's not going to give you that answer.
And I do think it's interesting that answer. He has not been cleared by the medical people to practice.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right?
Yes.
It's not even to the point where the football coach can judge what he's doing on the football field because the medical people have not cleared him, and yet we're getting reports that he could be a game time decision. Well, game time decisions, like the medical has to clear first, and then the coach makes the final decision. Is he better than my backup?
Than my backup, right? What am I going to functionally get out of the guy?
So I don't think he's been cleared. I don't think he will be cleared.
All right, pick it back up.
Like we do with any player, he's no different than any other player. I mean, he is, but I'm just saying the process is the same. There's a medical evaluation. Talk to the player. And as a coach, you, at whatever point, get the information that you get, and you make a decision if there's a decision to be made. If there's no decision to be made medically, then I'm out of it. But if there's a decision to be made, hey, the player's at X percent, he can do this, the player feels like he can do this, he's ready to play, then I make a decision, do I want this player at X percent or somebody else at, let's call it, 100%. But lot of times it never gets to that point. Occasionally it does. If it does, then that becomes my decision in consultation with the player and usually his position coach or the staff.
So would there be amount of practice that you would need to see from him to be comfortable enough to let him play if he were to be cleared on Sunday?
And again, I don't know. I'd have to. We'll see. Situations are different, so I think we'll just have to see how it goes. Not trying to like run you guys around the block. I mean, it's just the truth. We'll see.
How's he doing?
Fine. I mean, other than he's in the training room, but I mean, that's a lot of guys in the training room. He's fine.
Can we stop for a second?
Tremendous.
First of all, what a great question. How's he doing?
Perfect. Open-ended. Right?
Right? And then Bill had to stop and think about it and be like, okay, how am I going to... Oh, he's
good.
He's in the training room.
I mean, he's in the training room. A lot of guys in the training room. But when he said he's no different than any other player... I mean, he's different than... Yeah, he's different than that guy who wore 12 around here who never missed a game.
Player. He's no different than any other player. I mean, he is, but I'm just saying the process is the same.
It's like Brian Hoyer. Oh, he knows the offense better than anybody. I mean not better than anybody.
Bill's made me laugh twice this week out loud with some of his immediate, like, oh, what did I just say? He's no different than any other player. Of course he is.
He is a little bit.
He's different than Tom Brady because he used to play every game and didn't turn the ball over. This guy doesn't play every game and is turning the ball over, and that's why your buddy Mike Lombardi said he was going to lose his job.
Well, we don't know that Mac Jones isn't going to play this week. Otherwise, he's played every game.
I'm on a heater. You want to bet?
Oh, here we go. All right.
Know something about gambling. You want to bet that Mac Jones doesn't play?
How many bets have you made in your life?
A few.
Keep I don't going. Win them.
You called it the other day sort of a day-by-day situation.
Is that the word I use?
Waka waka!
I can't remember exactly how I described it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Did I break a record on that?
12 times.
Is that what it was? Nice. All right. I wasn't trying to do that. Just when you ask the same question, I'll give the same answer. And sorry.
When you ask the same question, I give the same answer. They were different questions, though.
Yes, they were, Bill.
They were very different
your
questions.
Your thoughts, the medical staff's thoughts, Mac's thoughts. There were a lot of different questions that got the day-by-day answer there, Bill. But, yes, if you are one who believes that a good mood, lighthearted, smiling Bill Belichick has any tie-in to his team's expected performance on Sunday, take the points.
Do you play Mac at all? Is it even a consideration for you?
For me?
For me?
No chance.
I'm with you.
Unless it's an absolute miracle. I mean, I try to be like Bill. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say
Miyagi,
no chance.
Somebody Miyagi'd right. him, rub their hands up. Hail! Where's Benny Hinn when we need him? How about Ernest Angley?
You know the drills we make fun of Jameis Winston for that are always on his Instagram? Where bouncing around, he's hopping,
Sure.
If Mac shows up Saturday morning before they're getting ready to leave and does that on the practice field and you're like, what the hell is this? I thought you were crying your eyes out last Sunday. How did you get... Okay, you can't just ignore it if he looks that much better. But as Bill just said, where'd you see Mac? In the training room. He hasn't left the training room yet. So is he going to play on Sunday? No, he's not going to play on Sunday.
I won't think so. 617-779-7937.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Follow the show on Insta at Gresh Keefe.
Just like you can go to WEEI.com and read the latest from Andy Hart at Jumbo Hart on Twitter. I'm sure to be linked there as well. What was the column today?
It was Mac should and can look out for himself.
Ooh, check that out at WEEI.com. Also at WEEI.com is the Bradfo Show. And the latest edition of the Bradfo Show, he talks to Tristan Casas. And, well, we've actually taken a, you know, John Anderson did a great job of breaking down this conversation. And I even mentioned something to Coop, the junior high schooler was in today, because Shime was out. So, you know, Coop's got to skip like 10th grade math or something to be able to come in here and help out because Shimey takes the day off.
He had study hall.
Oh, that's what it is? Oh, yeah,
that's how he has, like, work study.
So two free periods. There you go.
He's 18, so he can sign himself out.
Oh, that's a big deal, man. I graduated high school. I was 17. I never got that ability. I went to play college football at 17 years old. No wonder why I had to redshirt. But anyway, Rob Bradfoe had some pretty interesting things within this Tristan Casas conversation. The first one's about angles.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that an awesome angle?
Excuse me?
One more time, John.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that an awesome angle?
What the hell's going on here?
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, porn producer Rob Bradford.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that an awesome angle?
Oh, and it gets better.
Are we going to get kicked off the air if we play it?
No, I don't. Well, not this one.
I'm glad that you're entertained by my balls.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're entertained by my balls.
Wow. I didn't know what I was missing. I got to start listening to this podcast more often.
Bradfoe show is hot, baby, with all the double entendres in there.
It's for adults only.
Well, I was just going to say, found like three other ones that we probably can't get away with playing on the air, but Bradfoe breaking it down. I even talked about it with Coop, and Coop was like, yeah, I know. Rob, what are you going to do?
A little risque. No wonder baseball's not boring. You play it that way.
Well, there you go. That's a good point. Well, the Red Sox begin their final roadie of the season tonight in Toronto, and then they're home for the Rays, and then on Thursday begins maybe the most important offseason of Heim Bloom's life, you could argue, because 2020 was a complete mess. You didn't, and then heading into this season, we didn't know if we were going to have baseball. the season is so long, we forgot that 7-8 months ago we were sitting here talking about, geez, the season going to start on time, and now you have the CBA that is done, and now you know the parameters with which you're working for the next, I forget, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever it is, the length of that collective bargaining agreement. And to me, Thursday it begins. It's not the, oh yeah, season's over, here are the exit interviews, da da. No, if you're Heim Bloom, to me, on next Thursday, your plan needs to start going into place then in terms of who you're going to keep, who you're not, and maybe more importantly, who you're going to talk to about trying to keep around here. And I know Sam Kennedy said on Nesson, he said on the Greg Hill show, there are always conversations going on with a guy like Xander Bogaerts, but it's not negotiations.
Right.
They're two different things.
Does the conversation include a number?
Right.
Like, hey, do you want to be here? Yeah, I really like it. Unless the conversation, the back and forth, includes at least one number. Negotiations, you could say both sides have to throw numbers out there. But if you're not even talking any kinds of numbers, then, yeah, you're just shooting the poo.
I'm listening.
Right.
That's, if you're Xander Bogaerts right now, that's where it's at. But I hope Heim Bloom is ready to hit the ground running day one, just in terms of, I mean, let's be real now, right? You and I have been around sports a long time. And even though free agency wouldn't be completely opened up, all those teams whose season ends on Wednesday, all those players and their agents are going to start, they're going to start the whispers, and they're going to start chit-chatting who might be interested. Who, to me, you better be in the middle of some of those admittedly illegal conversations with guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the month.
But even before you get to that, the conversations about your two big bats, your two big dogs. You could say this is the next biggest offseason of his life because he already had one of those where he traded away Mookie Betts, right? Gets to the job, had never done it before, had to do it. But that was a big deal
for him.
There
you go.
He was making a deal for a superstar.
But he had to do it.
Right.
It was get as much as you can.
And how did that go?
Well, it didn't go well.
Not great.
But it's also, you know, you're backed into a corner as soon as you walk into the room. And you got to try to fight your way out of there.
Yeah, pick one guy and kick his ass. You swung and missed.
But there's a part of me that can at least contextualize the trading of Mookie Betts because it wasn't fair to him. It wasn't like Bloom controlled the negotiations. It was, you got to get rid of this guy. And oh, by the way, you got to find a way to get rid of this guy. And I look, the fact that Chaim Bloom attached David Price to it has got to be considered good for them, even though now we're just getting to the point of reinvesting the money.
Right, but that was his first offseason. There was a big deal involved, and now the second and third of the trio of players that fans have seen as the foundation of the team.
Sure.
You traded one. Next in line is Xander Bogaerts. He's going to opt out. You need to decide whether you're keeping him, whether you're going to at least attempt to keep him.
Well, but this is really Bloom's first decision. The decision,
if it's his, by the way.
The decision on Betts was made for him.
Right, but
this
still
is the first big one where it is on him.
Right, but he actually went out and did the deal and didn't do a great deal. Like, that's just the reality. The players he returned for Mookie Betts.
Well, do you think there was a better one out there?
I don't know. That's not my job. That's his job, to find the best deal possible. Do you think that was the best deal possible? Could he put a better deal together? My guess is there could have been a better deal. Somehow, some way, figure it out. That's why you make the big bucks. But now the next one in line is Xander Bogaerts. And let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his decision? Is it totally his decision as to whether and how much?
I think so.
So he's all, like, they have,
well,
John Henry is saying, I hired you to do a job,
let's
go
put
do
it
the
this
job.
Way. I think what Chaim Bloom tells the owner will be what the owner will be inclined to go with. Just like when Chaim Bloom took the job, the owner told him, you need to get rid of Betts, and Chaim had to go along with it, and now he's getting hammered for it.
Mm-hmm. But that's the reality of the job, too, is like you might
you're
be
gonna
the,
take shrapnel for
like
the ownership
Roger Goodell,
group.
They always talk about that's his, the key part of his job is he's the shield.
Right.
He's the shield to the shield to the shield. Like, he's gonna take the bullets. So I think that's where this offseason starts. I know they have qualifying offer considerations and things of that nature. They're going to have money to spend. They can choose to spend a boatload of it on their own players. Like, now, the funny thing is that I've seen texters allude to off and on for weeks now.
Okay.
Like, everybody wants Bogaerts and Betts, right? I mean, Bogaerts and Devers.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Bogaerts and Devers right now, and you're a last-place baseball team. So that's not the be-all, end-all. It's not like you can say, hey, I did a deal with Bogaerts and Devers for $450 million between them, figure out how you divvy mm-hmm. it up, and then just go, ooh, that was a good offseason. Because if you do that, you're still a last-place baseball team. That's just the reality of the current situation.
Yeah, it's going to get real interesting. Red Sox-Toronto tonight, a little after 7 o'clock for first pitch, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Let's get to the weekend review.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
Halfway through the parade, the coffee hit me.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. You had nothing to eat, probably.
So the parade ends, and I just grab the kids, get in the car, and I realize I'm not going to make it.
No. What?
So I just pulled over on the side of the road.
Come on.
Went behind a bush and
no.
had to take care of business.
Use a golf towel? Actually, don't tell me. Tell me off the air.
I use toilet paper. I keep toilet paper in my truck at all times for these reasons. What, you think I am an animal?
Well,
when a guy's got to go, a guy's got to go.
You eat candy corn.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Let's get to the Kiefer Madness weekend review. And, well, Al in Valdosta, Georgia. I know a longtime caller to the various shows and places that I've worked at over the 20-plus glorious years that I've been doing this mind-numbing schlock. Alan Valdosta likes him some Andy Hart.
Let's go to Al in Georgia. First up today on Gresh and Keefe. Hart is in for Keefe. Al, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
How we doing, Al? How you been, friend?
Long time, no chat. Listen, fellas, it's not a sexy topic, although Andy Hart is one sexy dude. I admit that.
Thanks, Al.
This is not a sexy topic, but we just don't have a tight end that can block.
Were you flattered? Did you blush when Alan Valdosta called you a sexy man?
Little bit, but I appreciate it. And I will say, Al, like you, has been a caller to
Postgame? Yeah.
Postgame. He's called Patriots.com over the years. Podcast listener.
He's a big Patriots guy.
Big Patriots sports talk radio guy. So appreciate you, Al. Appreciate you.
We also appreciate the efforts of Rich Keefe. His boys can swim. And Keith and his wife celebrated the birth of child number two on Monday.
Congratulations to Keith. One night of fantasy for him turned into kid number two. And it is official, ladies and gentlemen. Georgina Georgie Keefe. She and mom are doing great, according to Rich, who hit us in the group text. Nice. So, kid number two.
Congratulations.
He's officially poor.
Oh, yeah. And busy and
oh, a 3-year-old and a newborn? Good grief.
Yeah, we might have some rough days with Keith here coming up.
Is his dog male or female? Because the rest of the house
male.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's his tag team partner fighting back against the estrogen in the house.
Oh yeah, he's on the losing side of that.
Hiya, Georgie.
Georgie Porgie.
How about on Tuesday, Andy Hart? Ruthless Andy Hart, candy corn eating Andy Hart ripped Keith's 24-hour-old child. Pardon for Keith all week long because Keith is celebrating bebe number two.
Georgie Porgie.
That's right, little Georgie. Oh, there you go. Look out. I don't know if we should go down
Georgie.
That road.
No, well, not the Porgie part, but the
Georgina, Georgie. Right, exactly.
Oh, no, but even he said on his tweet, like Georgie. Like they're clearly going with Georgie,
but not the poor G because you have a daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm predicting what people are going to do.
Oh,
human
well,
nature. People rhyme things.
You have been in dink mode since coming in today.
Like that's been alive
seriously?
For 24
no,
hours.
No, I'm the getting poor the girl.
Infant as bad as him ripping Fred Rogers.
I'm getting the infant right. ready for life. This is what's coming.
Oh,
Georgie
here we go.
We'll save this segment. We'll post it as a clip.
Man, okay. Oh man.
You never listen to life. Her while she's going to sleep.
I mean, we can try to live in these fake worlds, fantasy worlds, whatever. It is what it is.
I mean, let her get to the point to where she can understand the insult, for God's sakes. Wait till age 3.
It's like a boy named Sue. You got to grow up strong. You got to grow up fast.
You are ruthless. That is. And John throwing a stray my way. John's protecting Fred Rogers. I don't know what the deal is with that.
You took shots at Fred Rogers?
Oh,
Gresh ripped Fred Rogers one day.
Oh, okay.
Weirdo. Anyway. How about some coach ref Kiefer madness that we went through on Tuesday?
I felt this impact to my chest. I staggered backwards to the point where the EMT started to treat me.
The 55-year-old coach says he did throw the football, but by phone tells me he did not intend to hit the ref.
He kicked me off the game, you know what I'm saying? And I grabbed the ball, like, mad of frustration, just whipped the ball, and it happened to hit one of the referees. And I wasn't trying to hurt nobody. I wasn't trying to hit nobody. I was just pissed off. I just threw the ball.
So he was charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, the football.
On behalf of all officials, I want this man prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Now, that coach did face a judge in court a little earlier today. That referee is going to be okay.
Stunner. I didn't expect that at the end. I thought when he got hit with a football, it was over because, you know, it's a dangerous weapon. Or it's a football. It's filled with air.
That's right.
It's inflated leather.
Well, was John Jastrzemski a part of that, or who was it? Was
oh,
the name of the inflator,
how,
deflator?
Firm it was?
Giving an effing watermelon a rugby ball.
John also told us this week that he once had.
Careful. A blue Christmas.
John needed a attention release once on a plane.
As men. When you enter a specific situation and that situation does not see its way all the way through and
Jesus.
There's a word word for what you get.
Yeah.
It's two words, both begin with B's.
JetBlue?
Yes. That was one of the most miserable plane rides I have ever had.
Got it.
So you just go to the bathroom and take care of it?
Couldn't you take
just go to the bathroom?
I think that's a felony. I did think about it.
Don't leave the door open.
Yeah, that can't be a felony.
Yeah, but if someone goes in there and they're knocking and I come out dripping sweat, then everyone knows, looking like I just ran a marathon on a plane.
Well, I mean, if you're that amped up, I wouldn't think that it would take that long.
That's not what it smelled like,
Billy. That's right, the blue water that can't cover up the smell of... All right, let's get to the picks.
I feel like we should move on.
This guy should have ate the yogurt at his seat.
Oh. Landman, that was a very good one. Oh, man. On Wednesday, I made a proclamation about Brian Hoyer as the Patriots starting quarterback. If Hoyer goes undefeated, I will swim naked in January in the Charles.
Noted.
Go ahead, mark it.
You got
it.
Mark it down.
Send it up and mark it down.
Mark it down because he could play four or five games. If he goes 5-0, that's
play one game.
What if he plays 1 or 2 and goes 1 or 2-0? This guy's swimming naked in the
Charles. I think we're talking about the season. Are we not here? Or
no,
are
we think we're not. Do we talk about his starts?
All right, fine.
We're talking about his starts.
Totally fine.
And Tom
then.
Curran told me it I'll could be as quick okay. as 2 weeks. Tom Curran told me. 2 weeks.
Yes. I hope they have like overflow barriers at the Charles. Rush goes in that thing. You kidding me?
Who am I, Shine? What are you doing here?
Not going to be the only issue with the roads. They're going to be flooded too.
Oh, are we fat shaming? What are we doing
here?
Oh, he is.
It's okay.
Well, yeah. Well, he did it earlier when I used the term little, when he called, you know, had to remind
me
that I'm fat.
I wasn't reminding. Right. I did not say that you're fat.
I was like, wait, what?
I said
not
that
small?
You're not small. That is different than you're fat.
I got to fix my mirror at home.
Should I use the word stout? To me, that's more insulting than the way I handle it.
He's a little teapot.
Portly?
Like I said, there you go. There's the word right there, portly. When I bought my first suit at like 12, 13 years old, the guy goes, you need the portly section.
Oh. Which, is that better or worse than husky? I remember the husky
I think I
would have
preferred husky.
Husky is different,
yeah. I think Gabe Iglesias made husky cool.
Yeah, portly is a little...
It was literally, the section was portly.
Yeah. I think we've evolved as a
just
society.
As tall as you are wide, there are your suits over
that left
there.
A mark, eh?
It did, yeah.
It's no longer the...
Really caused me to
I went home and had
habits.
A sundae.
Yeah, right, exactly. I cried while eating a whole pizza.
And then finally, Bill Belichick, like most of us, day by day.
Yeah. Saw Mac a little while ago. Definitely getting better. Take that day by day, see how it goes.
Do you expect Mac to start on Sunday for you guys?
Take it day by day. Take it day by day. We're not really doing anything differently. Day by day, Phil. Day by day. Day by day. Day by day is getting better. See how it goes. Day by day. Day by day. What do I look like? A doctor? An orthopedic surgeon? Like, I don't know.
What about the Mona Lisa Vito of MRIs? What are we doing here?
Do you want an update off Mac, by the way?
Oh, what do you got?
There's an update. He's on the practice field.
Oh, really?
Ish. He's standing, according to the video our buddy Mike Giardi put out, he's heavily taped on both ankles.
Oh, of course, because you don't want to know which one is hurt.
And it's the front one. We know it's the left, but he's out there, and he's standing like almost flat-footed, just throwing, like not moving at all. It's a...
Why are we... What? What?
Because this is what they do.
Show.
Yes. Do you remember
he's
that time?
He's hiding behind a net on the practice field so they can't get a clean shot of him either. But it's a net so you can also see through it.
Yeah. And do you remember that time when Gronk and Edelman were in question and they high-fived each other on the practice field while like stretching during the media viewing portion? That's what this is. This is an extension of that.
No, this is Harden wearing a fat suit.
This is It is. It is. It's just a show. This is sports entertainment. We talked about it in the office earlier.
That's right.
This is sports entertainment to Bill Belichick. He's getting his rocks off and having fun this week.
Chris Jericho could be standing there behind that net with Mac Jones. And
100%.
It would then fit. There is your Kiefer Madness week in review. Of course, we know the Green Bay Packers are this week's opponent. Our Packers four-pack of questions next.
Although Andy Hart is one sexy dude.
That referee is going to be okay.
Do you think I'm going to read the MRI? Day by day.
WEEI. New England Sports Original. You're listening to Gresh and Keith.
On WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
We've got your Flush Fund Friday parlay coming up a little after 1:30. Hart and I will get to the week 4 games in the NFL. Patriots are going to take on the Packers. And, of course, everyone reacting to Tua Tagovailoa. That'll be our final hour. But right now it is time for our Packers four-pack of questions. And Andy Hart, we normally tap into our friend William Lanny to walk us through these Packers four-pack of questions. Thin Billy, good afternoon.
How you guys doing? All right, first question. Is Matt LaFleur a good coach?
What do you make of this? Is Matt the regular season record's pretty good? He's got Aaron Rodgers, though. Never really had a history to speak of before this, but the guy's won a lot of games. But is he necessarily a good coach?
Yeah, I'm going to say he is a good coach. I think it's hard to win in the NFL. Good coach. I like the word you used.
Good.
Great coach? No, I'm not going great coach.
How many great coaches are there in the league?
None.
Listen to you.
There are good coaches who are paired with good to great quarterbacks, and they become great coaches. I mean, who's a great coach right now? Who looks like a great coach right now, week three of the 2022 season? You can't say Bill Belichick. You can't say Mike Tomlin. You can't say Pete Carroll. Who are you saying? Go ahead. I'll wait. I'll say Kyle Shanahan.
So you're. Wait
I'll
a
hang
minute.
Up and listen,
so,
caller.
So the good coach is really based on 3 weeks of the NFL season. I guess by your proxy, then Nick Sirianni's the best head coach in the NFL.
Was Pete Carroll a good coach last year? Was Bill Belichick a great coach last year? I thought it was the worst coach Patriots team of all time.
I don't know. How many head coaches have taken rookie quarterbacks to the playoffs?
Half of the other
guys that were drafted, guess what? They sat.
Right.
Because they weren't ready to play.
But was he
and
great?
There was one.
Because he wasn't even competitive in the playoffs, nor was Mike Tomlin.
But again, did
two
they
great
get there?
Coaches.
What do we, it's the whole, you know. So again, in the Andy Hart world, Nick Sirianni, great coach.
No.
Well, you're saying that you're citing all
he may
these
become
records.
A great coach, and it's hard for me to admit
but
when
again,
I remember his
you
press
said
conference.
After week three, who's a great coach in the league? I got to go to
the
undefeated
point is,
guy then.
The guys that had been considered great aren't right now. They're so great that they're swimming upstream.
So then again,
all three of them.
By proxy, I guess I got to go the other way then. Sirianni must be a good coach, great coach.
Because he's got a short
you
window.
You want to take
is
no,
Mike
you're
Daniel. I'm saying
you're
great
boxing
coaches
it into, you're boxing,
can look bad.
But you're boxing it in to take away all of the accolades that make these people great coaches.
So who's a great coach in the NFL right now? Give me the great coaches, the list, the
look,
rundown.
We know that Belichick is a great coach. I think Andy Reid has proven to be a great coach.
Agreed.
And again, you need good players. I think that's pretty simple and easy to figure out.
100%.
I'll tell you what. Well, I'm not gonna go there yet. I was gonna cite Doug Peterson might be a great coach, considering the turnaround that's going on in Jacksonville and the fact that he did end up winning a Super Bowl with a guy that no one apparently wants on their roster.
Right. I mean, he's going down a road that I always, like, even Bill Belichick didn't really go down. He's been in New England forever and was great in New England. Cleveland, there's a lot of sort of debate as to what exactly he did over 5 years in Cleveland.
How about Mike McCarthy?
Is not a great coach. Is the opposite of a great coach.
I only said it to get a rise out of
it. Terrible coach.
Billy, what else do we got?
All right, is Lambeau Field the NFL's cathedral?
Do you view Lambeau the way some people do, like the Rose Bowl in college football, or maybe like Neyland Stadium at Tennessee, where it's like, wow, we could hold church in here?
Yeah, I think you have to, because what else would qualify?
Have you been there?
Yes. Yes.
How many times?
Twice.
Okay.
A while ago. It's
I
been a while.
It's among the few places that I want to go to that I haven't been.
It's really cool, and it has changed significantly since last even I was there. They have built like a city around it, condos. I think they call it Title
Town. Packer Town or Title Town.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so it's changed some, but you look at it, almost everybody has a new facility. I guess them, Soldier Field would be one that still has the old. And
well, I know they redid
now.
Soldier Field, but they're about to move
right.
on
they're
from that.
They're
going to
move on, and even the redo of Soldier Field changed it dramatically. They describe it as a spaceship landed on the original Soldier
Completely.
Field.
Completely. It looks weird.
So, yeah, I think the answer probably is yes, Lambeau is. And look at this week, the way the Patriots players are talking and Bill Belichick's freaking showing Lambeau highlights.
Well, you know what? Good point. That sort of backs that up. All right, Billy.
All right, who is the greatest quarterback in Packers history?
Fascinating question, isn't it?
It is.
Hold on. Before you answer, ladies and gentlemen, we're very aware that Brett Favre may have some pending legal issues. We just want to let you know that we're aware of them so that all of you who want to scream about that as you were deflecting away from Ime Udoka last week, don't get your panties in a bunch and run to Twitter.
I don't know. How good was Bart Starr? I feel like I'm not qualified to make this, or are we just saying it's a Favre-Rogers debate?
Well, is there anybody else other than, I mean, Bart Starr might be the other one to get mixed in there, unless
Magic
you want to go
Man,
Magic
Don
Man.
Mikowski, whatever his name was.
But, so, Favre-Rogers.
I think Rogers is better than Favre. Like the turnovers and the craziness of Brett Favre. Like, there's a lot of skill there, but I go back to, like, those Mike Holmgren plays of idiocy where, you done? Are you done with those now? Can we just play regular football now?
But is that the reason why Brett Favre has a champion, you know, won a championship?
No, I think Mike Holmgren might be. I think Mike McCarthy may have held back Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is perfect, but I think we're seeing that Mike McCarthy, pretty bad coach. Pretty, pretty freaking bad coach. So if Aaron Rodgers had Mike Holmgren as his coach for most of his career, you think he would have won more Super Bowls?
Maybe. I wonder if Holmgren would have been able to deal with him, because he is.
Oh, he's nuts.
He's a handful.
But they all are. All these we're learning more and more. These quarterbacks are all nuts. They're all egomaniacs. They want more control and say than they ever should have. Or even Matt LaFleur. We just had a debate. Is he a good coach? Could he be a great coach?
Right, right.
Would Rodgers be better if Matt LaFleur had been there the longer stretch of his career? I don't know. But
it's interesting.
I'm going to say, Bart Starr aside, I'll leave that to Ron Borges or somebody who's older than me
or
to
Bill.
Tell me.
Or
Bill. But I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre.
All right, and then finally, William.
If you owned one package jersey, who would it be and why?
Now, this is pretty consistent in terms of our four-pack of questions, because it forces you to have to really motor down and stop and think of not only some of the great players over the course of history of a team, but who would be that guy that you would be like, oh, I love him so much, I got to have that jersey.
I think it's Reggie White. I think Reggie White, the Minister of Defense, like, he's up there among the greatest players in history. Now, I know he had his own issues, and
I'm not sure
I love that God told him to go to Green Bay, or how many, remember he went on that racist, bigoted,
oh yeah, there was
rant
all that
about all the stereotypes.
And he wrestled a little bit too. Everybody holds that against him, that he was a wrestler.
But yeah, I think I would go Reggie White.
I would go Tony Mandarich. Because arguably, one of the worst picks in NFL history, although
yeah,
he salvaged his career, but I always remember the guy, when they did the Tony Mandarich sort of deal on SI where he was on the cover and they broke it down and how much he ate and yeah, all that stuff. Like, when he has a weird place in Packers, like, history.
So you get on me for taking one bottle of Andro once in college, and you're going to get a Tony Mandarich jersey?
Well, yeah, because it's a talking point. Because when people see
it's
that.
It's a conversation
starter.
Yeah,
because when people see that jersey and they're just like, oh, it's Favre, or oh, it's Rodgers. But, like, Mandarich? Why him? Then it starts.
Okay, that's an interesting spin on it. What are some of the other considerations? Obviously, the quarterbacks.
Sterling Sharp. Underrated.
Devontae
all time.
Adams, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like Devontae Adams Raiders jersey. I like the Raiders. Those
Clay
jerseys
Matthews?
Are pretty up.
No?
Nah. What about 80s?
Charles Woodson?
Well, would you wear a Don Majkowski? Would you wear a Magic Man jersey?
That's a conversation starter.
That's exactly right.
Definite. Desmond Howard? For his key to their success beating the Patriots?
John, you look like you were going to get in with something there. I saw you snuggle up to the mic. I didn't know if you had something
well,
or not.
Well, I was going to say, didn't Julius Peppers have a cup of coffee there?
He did, yes.
So that's a Hall of Famer. But just any of these wide receivers from the last, like, 20 years for the most part, they just had such a long line of, like, wide receiver ones that continued with Devontae Adams and looks like possibly could be handed off to Romeo Doubs now. But, like, Greg Jennings, you know, he broke his leg and he carried the team on his back. So Greg Jennings is a good one. Jordy Nelson.
Somebody said A.J. Hawk.
Didn't they have Amon Green?
Amon Green,
oh,
yeah.
They did
yeah,
for a little bit, yeah. Someone said Paul Hornung. Now, that's a good one.
He's a gambler.
No, I was just going to say, if you're a degenerate, that's the jersey you want. Standing in a sports book with a Paul. The only thing
Paul Hornung, Calvin Ridley, and Michael Jordan jerseys
Alex,
to each other.
Alex Karras. He was another one.
Ted's father?
Ted's uncle. But Alex Karras was also busted for gambling back in the day, I think, when he was with the Lions. And then he went on to be the dad in Webster, which is pretty crazy.
I like this. I like this question. This is a.
It's making you think.
Yeah. No. And especially a franchise like the Packers, because
tons of great
as
players.
Bill noted.
I forgot about Donald Driver as well.
Forrest Gregg, if you want another Largo,
James Lofton.
He played for a couple different teams though.
So,
can you really?
So does everybody
make him,
now? So did Brett Favre.
Right, but that was also back in a day, like, he kind of hung on. James Lofton had a couple of years.
I feel like Jerry Kramer would be a popular
one. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.